So I'm going to turn this on as well, Andrea, if that's okay. Because what I just want to do, just to start off with, is I'm just wondering what we're starting a new year, but just wondering what you achieved last year. What are you most proud of? What's your proudest achievement last year? Anyone? I know, sort of, I've thrown this on you, haven't I? Just to sort of that, and so many things. What have you got a proud achievement of last year? Something you kind of think, well, that was a really, yeah, go on. What's that?
I got confirmed.
Got confirmed. Great, fantastic, brilliant. Yeah, lovely. Well done. Okay, anything else? David, are you waving or scratching? Scratching. Okay, that's okay. Oh, what was that? You had a baby. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, and you seem pretty happy about that as well. Yeah. Oh, no, strange man's talking to me. Okay, lovely. Great. Well done. Any other good achievements? No. Okay. Look, I don't know. So, John, are you?
House repairs were finished.
Fantastic. That's lovely. That's great. That's fantastic. We played Monopoly, by the way, at New Year, and I'm pleased to say that I didn't get the house repairs card, so they're lovely. But Jono did, and he got it all completed, so well done. I did get a message, because I have the Nectar app, and I had a message, and my proud achievement of last year is that apparently there were only 5 people who bought more of this in Peterborough than me. I'm the 6th highest buyer of Alpro Cashew in Peterborough. So, are you the 4th person?
I bought more porridge at Crescent Sainsbury's supermarket than anybody else.
We are not worthy. There you go, more porridge than anybody else at Breton. So, the wonders of the Nectar app. But we're into a new year, aren't we? A new year and kind of a new starts. New beginnings, new year, new you. And it's a time for that sort of thing, isn't it? Perhaps a time for a change of job. I read the other day that Dominic Cummings, Boris Johnson's right-hand man, was advertising for posts in Downing Street. And in his blog, he wrote that he wanted weirdos and misfits with odd skills to work in government. Well, obviously my interest was piqued immediately. But tempting as it might be, reading on it becomes clear that the job is all-consuming. No time off, no time for relationships, and it doesn't sound much like a positive new beginning at all, does it? Certainly doesn't fit with God's plan for beginnings. And I think it's always good, before we launch into a plan, to look at how God does things. Now, for us, New Year, it's often about starting again, a fresh beginning. We're aware that things have kind of gone a bit off-piste, and we need to get back on track. So we decide to go on a diet, or start exercising, or eat more healthily, you know, porridge, I don't know, whatever. Go to bed earlier, relax more, be more this, be more that, be more the other. But basically, we're trying to undo the things that haven't gone quite so well, or fine-tune the things that have and get them even better. But when we read Genesis 1 and John 1 in the Gospels, we see that God created the universe. He created it from nothing. He made it from emptiness, from a sort of a terrible, bleak, howling void. There was a big bang and ta-da, everything came into existence. No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. Let's look again. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you go to John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So where's this void? Where's this kind of chaotic nothingness that needs to be called into order? Nowhere in sight. It's not mentioned at all in Genesis. Genesis simply says that after the earth was initially created, it was formless. So what was there before creation? I'll have a look at the first 4 words of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God didn't say, I need to make something out of nothing, or even, I need to make something out of all this chaos that's going on, like we might say at the beginning of a new year. No, before the beginning, there's God. God the Father, and John tells us that Jesus, the Word, is with him. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, that the Spirit of God is there too. That we heard about in our video a moment ago. In other words, before our beginning, everything was perfect. God God exists and he's in a perfect relationship with himself. There's a bit of a trendy phrase, isn't there, at the moment, about people saying they're self-partnered. Well, actually, God had that phrase before any of us, and he actually had it off to a T, didn't he? Because he's self-partnered with himself. God is three persons, and he's in a perfect relationship, a wonderful, pure, holy, loving relationship with himself. Now let me ask you, if your life was perfect, what would your New Year's resolution be? I'll tell you. To change nothing. Wouldn't it? If your life was absolutely perfect, your resolution would be, make nothing different this year. But that's not what God did. God chose to create. He chose to make a new beginning. God broods like a mother hen, we read. And then speaks, and that word brings light and life and wonder of wonders, a world and a universe and animals and fish and birds and human beings in the image of God into existence. And God says that it's good, even that it's very good. God creates, not out of necessity, not out of loneliness and despair, but out of joy and love and blessing. Get your head around this. God had no need to make any of this or any of us. And yet he did it to share his love with us. Isn't that amazing? And that's good news to dwell on, isn't it? Because January can be pretty bleak. You know? The decorations come down, most of them are down. Christmas trees will be down by tomorrow, all packed away because it's 12th night. The fairy lights go away. It all feels dull and boring. The skies are leaden and dull. The nights are supposed to be getting shorter, but it just feels like the absolute opposite, you know. And whilst a couple of weeks ago we were dreaming of a white Christmas, now we're just dreading the thought of black ice and freezing fog. It's time to hunker down, go insular, shut ourselves away with nothing but our broccoli smoothie and our Weight Watchers ready meal. Please don't. You see, Genesis 1 reminds us that God created us for the very opposite. He created us for relationships. God made us to be loved. God made us to know him and to be known by him, to have hope. There was darkness, and God said, let there be light. Have you ever noticed how it's very one way between darkness and light? The darkness can never put out the light, but as soon as the light appears, the darkness is banished. The greatest of lights is Jesus. In the 4th century, there was a Christian minister named Gregory Nazianzen, and he wrote this description of Jesus. The Son of God himself, who is before all ages, the invisible, the incomprehensible, the bodiless, the beginning of from the beginning, the light from the light, source of life and immortality, image of the archetype, immovable seal, unchangeable image, the Father's definition and word. Now that picks up some of the imagery that we were looking at last Sunday from Hebrews, but also from Genesis 1 and John 1. Where we read that in him, that's Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the light from the light. The light of God that gives light and life to all mankind. The light that banishes darkness. The darkness of all that is. Failure and isolation, sin and death. Jesus is the light that the darkness cannot and will not overcome. The days might be short, the nights might be long, but that dark will not conquer, because you know that the darkness on our planet only exists due to the fact that we've kind of turned away from the light. When we turn back, when our planet turns back to face the sun, the darkness is banished. And the reminder that we need at the start of a new year is that we personally need to turn back to the light. Not to face a star called the S-U-N, but to face the image of God, the light from light, the source of life and immortality, the S-O-N. We need to be back in that relationship with God, because that's how we were created to live. not in darkness and hopelessness and isolation, but in life and light and a full relationship with our God. And one more thing, our New Year's resolutions often call us into kind of frenetic and unrealistic activity. And in contrast, God's beginning is marked with rest. We saw it actually in the new beginning when Jesus is risen and ascended. He rests at God's right hand. It's not a laziness, but a resting in himself. And it's a rest that we're called to share in. Because come December, we tell each other, don't we, that Christmas is all about being together, and it's all about family, and it's all about the children, it's all about re-establishing relationships. And then come January, we throw that out with the threadbare tree and launch ourselves into a program of personal renewal. God's plan has got a very different agenda. Dominic Cummings is inviting applicants to work themselves into the ground in order to build a better future. Do you know what? God's already won that better future for us. And he calls us to begin experiencing it by resting in relationship with him, being his children, knowing his love. I think there's a lot to be said for using the start of a new year as an opportunity to take stock of our lives and for deciding to maybe make a few changes. But those changes need a focus, and that focus needs to be God. I was reading about a new trend that's arrived from Silicon Valley in the US. It's called a dopamine fast. Dopamine is the chemical that your brain produces that when something good happens and makes us feel rewarded and happy. And here's how the fast works. For 24 hours, you can't eat or drink anything apart from water. You can't use the net or the phone or your computer or TV or any other screens or technology. You can't listen to music or the radio. You keep contact with other people and reading and talking to an absolute bare minimum. And I read an article by someone who tried it. And to be honest, all they got out of it was at the end they were really hungry and very bored. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? You see, the thing is, it did actually remind me slightly, though, of the quiet days we used to have at theological college when I was training. Except that with a dopamine fast, there's no focus. There's no reading, there's no meditating on the word of God or praying. There's no God. It's just aimless, focusless. A quiet day focused on God can still be pretty hard work at times, but its purpose is to draw your attention back from the TV or the newspaper or the internet or the radio to God. A dopamine fast with no focus is just a bleak and depressing time of nothingness, a time for hunger, boredom, and hopelessness. And this reminds us that the way to detox is actually not to abandon everything around us and pursue a sort of self-centered inner peace. It is instead to focus on the Word of God, to focus on the creation of God, to focus on the person of God, to turn back to the light of life, to run into our Father God's arms, and to be filled afresh with his Holy Spirit. What a joy. As we begin a new year, we need to remind ourselves of actually how hopeless it would be if we came from a chaotic nothingness. But instead, we read in Genesis 1 and John 1 that God's word reminds us that our origins are in fact from the sovereign God of grace and justice, of mercy, of truth, of love. He made us, and he made us to know him, to reflect him, to worship him, and to love him and to be loved by him. And the new year gives us an opportunity, whatever our state or condition, to remember that and to begin again afresh with him. And that quite possibly starts by resting in him. So that we all need to change. We saw that towards the end of last year when we were thinking about being disciples. We all need to be more Christ-like. But as we start a new year, we will do that only by making God our focus and drawing our strength and our hope and our life from him. From living for him, learning from him, and resting in him. If we do that, then undoubtedly, whilst there still will be struggles ahead, I suspect that 2020 will be a happy new year. Amen.